Tonight is bad fan fiction night. Trigger and I have pulled 16 bad fan fictions, and there's going to be 16 of you reading them. Quick note, Sassy had to drop out, so we brought back our first choice for an alternate, who was Rochelle Euler. So she's back. And the instructions were basically to read the fan fiction without mocking it, like you were hired to read a book on, like, an MP3 book. That was pretty much the gist of the instructions. First up is Druox. Everybody was split into two teams, and I pulled eight, and Tregatry pulled eight. This is one Tregatry pulled. Druox reading a Blue's Clues fan fiction. Take it away, Druox.
Blue's Clues, The Most Scandalous Days of Our Lives, by Puffers. Part 1. Wake Up. To make things less weird, pretend everyone is a human. I wake up as normal to the sound of my wonderfully joyous alarm clock, always waking me up to the sense of another absolutely gorgeous day. It rings for maybe 30 seconds before I stir, but often I like to tease it instead. I'll sometimes pretend sleeping for much longer to watch it work those arms. I woke up with a headache. I'm not sure if this is from a few too many Long Island iced teas, or the sex. I remember last night watching the fabulous bartender mix the gin, coke, and other ingredients together into a little bundle of $21. I can't recall how many I've had. Maybe three, maybe even five. All I remember is, "Steve, wake up!" yells the puffing clock. It looks slightly pissed. It gave me the same look it gave me when I said we'd have to break it off. I ignore his wailing and remember all the fun times we had together. On the beach. Me chasing the seagulls and him tossing bread to bring more gulls our way. Or at my dear mom's nursing home when she accidentally dropped my purse, so I bent over in front of him to pick it up off the scruffy floor. Oh, those times were great. If, only if, no. It wasn't meant to be. "I'm up, you silly goose." And then I tickled him until his buzzer squawked a low tone. "Tee-hee!" he laughed. I loved his laugh. It brought back even more memories. I walked into the kitchen, trying to remember the way around the apartment. I can't even tell that it is my house. I open up the freezer to find what we can make. When Periwinkle, the landlord, comes over. He used to be my neighbor until he bought my house and built a drab apartment building on top of my very cute yellow house. On top of my cute yellow house, with purple shutters and that chic red roof. I almost had a tear come out when I heard the knocking on my door, and the cursing coming out of that worn and dirty mouth.
"Open the fucking door, skank! Just because you give good massages doesn't mean you can dick your way out of rent!"
I hadn't heard such foul language since I had seen the movie Slapshot. It did not impress me. "Hold on, sweetie," I heard him grumble something. He still had a part of me in his heart. It started just a little boiler problem, but then I brought him into the equation. I had one of my most steamy breakups with him. I won't get into the details. I opened the door. He was all sweaty and had some shaving cream on his face. I didn't question him about it.
"You're a little overdue on your rent. I think you need to come up to my place."
He was desperate for me. That most certainly wasn't shaving cream. It was his own cream of man. He wanted a partner, and not the rent that I had already dropped off. "No way, you magic-filled silly. The only position you like starts with an M and ends with Ishinary."
"So?"
"Yeah, you're right. But I already paid the rent. So that means no sex until next month."
"Fuck you! I could kick you out of this flat if I wanted to."
"But you won't. I'm his weakness."
"Fuck you!"
He left. I heard his hard steps down to his apartment. I used to spend long, magical summer nights in that room. It was always cluttered with paper. Then I noticed some of his papers were. End of part one. Please comment. Part two will be Blue's Clues, the most scandalous days of our lives. Part two, Green Puppy. There was someone new that I did not know about. Periwinkle had found a different lover, not somebody who loved more, better, or harder. Someone who he had for the fun of knowing that he was cheating on me. He had more than a few bruises by the time I was done with him. I was over. It was July 7th, or the 27th, I can't recall. He had just gotten some new curtains that matched the new sheets. He just had to break the new sheets in. After the 45 minutes of juicy foreplay, we got hotter. But suddenly, he had the urge to relieve himself. So while he was gone, I opened up his bedside table's little drawer. The drawer was cute. Its name was Side Table Drawer. I had given it to Periwinkle because it meant so much to me. Inside, I found my other gift to Periwinkle. My handy-dandy notebook.
Hey, Steve! The table yelped. Hey, Steve!
The table yelped. Hello, how are you? I asked friendly to the little quirk.
No, I'm fine. How about you don't look too much in there?
But his words were too late. I had already found a little candy photography. What the fucking Mary Mother of Jesus is this? It was a glamour shop of another. Under it was from the after party of the glamour shot. Periwinkle walked in with piss still dripping from his clit. That was a joke we made. We always had called the head of his penis the clit. He looked at me, then the pictures. He stayed with his eyes on the pictures. He made a groan. I took side table lamp and batted 1,000. I heard he was out of it for the next 6 weeks. I had a picture in my head of him using crutches with his injury. I later found out that the picture was of Green Puppy. They stayed together for another 2 days. I am not sure if us breaking up was worth it because of the few cheap fucks he got from Green. I also found out that in 10th grade, he had sex with Mrs. Marigold, the dog's teacher. So not only is he a cheating fuck, he's bisexual. I feel kind of grossed out. Not that I kind of like having sex with a woman, it's just kind of having sex with a 60-year-old woman. I came back to his apartment late that night. He was out on the bed. He had a big bandage on his love pump and an empty bottle of 500 Tylenol next to him. I called an ambulance and requested he go to the same hospital. Let him be embarrassed. Now all this to say, doesn't make me clean. I cheated on him a lot. I had at least 3 significant others. The sex was only good because it gave me a rush whenever I did it with them. The rush was from knowing that I was cheating on him and he never knew. But he eventually found out with the second one. I still did it with him, and the another too. Since Periwinkle, I've had 2 other lovers. One of them was only for a few weeks. His name was Tico the Squirrel. But that's from another TV show, so I can't really talk about that one. The other one was with Purple Kangaroo. Not too much to say about that one, except it does help he bounced up and down a lot. The worst thing I have ever done involved my cousin, Joe. He came to town and was lonely. We pretended not to be cousins for a little while. I only gave him hand, but he wanted more. Once I realized how gross it was, I stopped and threw him out. He had come to replace me so I could go to college. I told him he could go wank his way to college instead. That's all that happened. Blue's Clues, the most scandalous days of our lives. Part 3, In a Rut. Every day is the same now. I wake up, I eat breakfast, I go to work. I work at Rick's Hot Mamas as a bouncer. Rick's Hot Mamas is a 24/7 strip joint. My job as a bouncer. But no ordinary bouncer who breaks up drunken fights.
I'm the stripper separator. I stand outside of the changing room, and when they get in a fight over a G-string or implants, I bust in. I have to stand my post, watching everything through a little peephole. I was hired because most guys would be looking in there and jerking off. But not me. I take my job seriously. When I do have to bust in, I can't use any force against the strippers. I have to give them a nice compliment. And then they start talking to me about manicures and such. For example,
"You stupid whore! Use my baby oil on the doors!"
one would scream.
"Maybe so! But you used a micro bikini last weekend, you bitch!"
they would yell, until I would come in. "Ladies, ladies, wow! Your hair looks great. Where did you go? It looks like you have absolutely no split ends." They would start jumping on me, telling me all the best places to get your hair cut. Nails done, backs waxed, and even a place to set up a cell phone plan while getting tanned. Sometimes I imagine what sex with a woman is like, but then I forget and laugh. They are so stupid. They actually think the bill for equal rights for women has passed the courts. Here's a real fact. It hasn't. That's just some bullshit explaining why I'm homosexual. I know I'm different. I know by the nicknames I get, like Peter Puffer, Bulge Magnet, and the Texan. He sure doesn't look like a steer to me, so it narrows it down a bit. I know I'm different because I have much different word choice than most. Instead of saying, "Wow, that's so gay," I say, "Oh my gosh, that is so hetero." I am gay, but I have standards. Well, at least now I do. Maybe that's why I haven't had any new men over recently. I wonder if straight bachelors go through the same stress as I do. Going to nightclubs, trying to get laid, then waking up the next morning trying to get paid. Seems different in my opinion. And then again, I'm not straight, so I'll never know. Back to today. After I had the run-in with Periwinkle, I went back to making my breakfast. I made my eggs poached. Maybe the damn salmonella will kill me before I do. I only make breakfast for myself, because most of my friends have moved out, except for two. Tiki Talk, my clock, who you've already been introduced to, and Pale. Pale had another friend, Shovel. But Shovel wanted to move to the big city, and Pale is the suburb kind of guy, so they split up, ending what would be known as the Shovel and Pale legacy. Pale is always outside, and in the sandbox. We have let the sandbox go. Nobody's cleaned it, and there's grass growing in it. Pale just stands there, crying silently. He tried to kill himself 8 times by jumping off the roof, but he's made of sturdy plastic, so he always has survived. He's even given us the courtesy of letting us get lawn chairs so we can watch his attempts. We've sent them to America's Funniest Videos, but they always send this reply.
OMGFGLMAOWTFOFL, dudes. Fails are inanimate objects. Get a life!
After I ate breakfast, I put on my face and my best jeans and a shirt. Then I get ready for the worst strippers alive, since it's a 24/7 strip joint. They need a lot more girls than other places, so some of them lack in quality. Currently, I have the 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. shift. This is when all the freaks of the night make their money as strippers, or spend it on strippers. Please comment!
Check it, Chee.
Yeah.
I don't think this was an this was not appropriate, first of all, to pull and give to somebody. First of all, I apologize to anybody else on Chagachi's team. I don't know what she gave you, but I apologize.
I gave Druox the worst of it.
I wish I could have had you all on my team so you didn't have to.
I figured if there was anyone who wasn't easily offended, it was Druox, right?
Which is probably a good idea, but...
it was either him or Appa, so...
Oh, dear, Chagachi.
Anyway.
What have you done? Do you want to start?
Okay. So at first, I liked the serious tone you took to it. It was really funny. It was very, you know, narratory, book on tape, that sort of thing. But after a while, it got kind of dull. And then I popped back up when you said,
You popped back up.
After this kind of fanfic, you know what I could say after that, but I'll refrain. After you were like, so not only is he a cheating fuck, he is a bisexual. Except, it went on, and I thought you could have gotten more emotional on that, since this is a first-person account. And then, it sounded like you were stumbling in a few parts, on the words. Like, you would elongate them, unnaturally. And I think that you could have redone them, but you know what? Whatever. The thing I really had a problem with, though, is the fact that there's a lot of typos in here that you fixed, or a lot of grammatical things that you fixed, so you could read it easier. Some of them were unnecessary, by the way. It was grammatically correct otherwise. But, yeah, that's what I gotta say about this.
I did not like your British accent. I thought it was pointless. You're going in and out of it.
Oh, it was a British accent?
At the beginning, it was British, and then he went out of it. It was overdramatic. I thought you were mocking the author. I did like your landlord voice.
Your voice has made me laugh.
I think you were a little big with it. It sounded like overdramatic monologue-ish and not narration, even though it was first person.
It sounded underdramatic is what it was.
He was being very big with the reading.
Yeah, but in a half-assed sort of way.
Even if you do a first-person, like, if you listen to a first-person book on tape, it's not all, like, crazy like this.
Yeah.
Also, there were a couple parts where you said the same line twice in a row, and I don't think that was in the story, right, Chakachu?
It's not.
Hey, Steve, the table yelped. Hey, Steve, the table yelped. So I think what happened was you stopped your recording and went and, you know,
recorded it again.
Did whatever you do. And then, yeah, I started back up and forgot what place you were at. I caught that twice that happened.
Yeah.
So that's no good. It was entertaining to me, though. I almost think that with this story, if you had read it more straightly, you would have done it even more justice as far as it. I mean, I feel like you played it for the laughs instead of trying to do the challenge in the parameters that you're given. And you succeeded in making it funny, but I don't know how well you succeeded based on what we told you guys to do.
Right.
Also, I'm sorry you got this. Yeah.
Hey, in my opinion, he got the best.
Yeah. Okay. I have nothing else to say about this. You?
Okay. No, I'm good.
Okay.